Welcome back to the Infinitely More podcast. Today, we are doing the topic of what is a healthy ministry mindset? And I got some great people here with me. Can you guys introduce yourselves?
Yeah. My name is Dan Gregory, and I'm the campus pastor at the Norton campus.
Yeah. And I'm Tony Livigny, and I'm the campus pastor at the Medina East campus of Grace Church.
And I'm Colin Page, and I serve under Tony at the Medina East campus, oversee your next gen ministries, and invest in our young adults.
That's awesome. So let's do something fun real quickly. Since it's a healthy ministry mindset, how long has each person been doing ministry?
Yeah.
You want to go first, Colin?
Yeah, we'll go.
All right. Vocationally, like full-time, end of 2020, so a little over 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. At Grace Church, I've been in vocational ministry for 20 years.
Wow.
And then kind of in and out in different couple places for a few other years on top of that. So,
yeah.
So 32 years I've been pastoring.
Yeah. Wow.
How old are you, Nick?
I am 19 years old.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. That's a awesome. Long time.
That's awesome, man.
And I'm like 6 months into this whole thing. So it's pretty fun to have a conversation like this because there's a lot of wisdom that you pick up on. And that we hope the people of Grace that may be watching this, that you get to pick up on, not even just vocationally, but when you're leading your friends, you're leading your coworkers, whatever it may be, to Jesus, what the mindset going into the days, going into the interactions look like. And so I'd love to get like maybe a short answer from each of you, and then we can go more in depth. But what does a healthy ministry mindset look like to you?
Everybody's being polite.
I could just jump in first. I think if I was to like put just a definition of what do we mean by healthy ministry mindset, I think that a healthy ministry mindset is marked by a servant-hearted mentality that every follower of Jesus takes with them into everything they do and everywhere they go. I think that would be, if I was just to give it like a real quick definition, that'd be the way that I would define what we mean by a healthy ministry mindset.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree with what Tony said. Maybe the only things I would add to that is, I think a healthy ministry mindset is three things. I think it's a response of worship. So it's my response to what God's done for me. I think a healthy mindset is going to be rooted in my identity in Christ. And I think Ephesians tells us it results in this unity, this unusual unity. And so I think if it's going to be healthy, it's a response to what God's done. And then it's rooted in who I am. And then it results in this community that is under his headship.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
It's 32 years of wisdom right there.
Yes. Can I change mine?
I don't know what else to add. As I thought about that question, the thing for me, I guess the way it kind of shows up in my life, one of the ways, I mean, all the things they're saying, but is that it would not be, it would just be driven in response to what God's done in my life, of just wanting to faithfully serve him and faithfully serve people. And so a passage I think about a lot is when Jesus sent out the 72, they come back, they're rejoicing in what basically the results of their ministry. And God says, or Jesus says to them, not to rejoice in the fact that the demons submit to them, but their names are written in heaven. And that right there, I think, speaks so much to that healthy ministry mindset in response to what God's done and an identity of serving out of an identity of who we are. So I love those things.
Yeah, that's great.
This might sound like a pointless question, but I think it's actually valuable. Why does it matter? Why does having a healthy ministry mindset matter?
You know, I can jump in and maybe, so I thought some about this. I think that if I don't have a healthy mindset, for instance, if it's not rooted in my identity, I think an unhealthy ministry mindset would be to serve for an identity. And then I'm going to get sideways quick. Or if it's not in response to what he's done, it might be to get a response for what I've done. You know what I mean? So I think if it's not healthy, I can get sideways quick. And then it's going to lead to disunity, which that happens, you know, because then instead of a cooperation under the headship of Christ, where everybody's coming together, surrendered to, partnering with, well, then it becomes about my agenda versus his and things like that. So, I mean, I think it matters because unity really mattered to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I think these things can break apart unity and cause all kinds of division.
Yeah, I just agree with what Dan said too. I think, like, you know, we talk about mindset in so many different places in life. And just that mindset really matters. It matters a lot. Like the mindset that you bring into things. And, you know, it's crazy if you think about it, like you can have two people that are doing the exact same thing externally, but there could be something very different that's happening in their mind and their heart. And so I think the importance of having a healthy ministry mindset is that I think the health of whatever ministry you're doing is only going to be as healthy as your mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, that the health of your ministry will never rise above the health of your mindset. Or we could even say, when we say mindset, we could even say the state of our heart. You know, I think that's kind of, in my mind, it's a little bit synonymous with those things. But like just thinking about the state of where my heart is, I think if you have an unhealthy ministry mindset, it can skew the way I view myself. It can skew the way I view God. It can skew the way that I view the people that I'm ministering to or serving. It can lead to dysfunction, disunity, all the things that Dan kind of talked about. I think having a healthy ministry mindset, like, it brings us into a healthy way of thinking about ourselves and about what is my part, what is God's part. Like how am I viewing and seeing the people that I'm serving? And I think it can lead to unity. It can lead to the fruit that God desires. And so, like, to me, I'm like, yeah, mindset matters a whole lot. And you have two people who are leading a Bible study, two people who are serving in any capacity, two people who are preaching a sermon, two people who are, and externally they're doing the same thing, but internally there's something way different that's happening, and it matters, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think having a healthy ministry mindset also takes the pressure off, right?
Yeah.
Like what's the quote? Like, do your best and go home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a level of partnering with the Spirit and saying, like, God, I'm going to work hard for you, but it is in your hands, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something our generation, my generation, overlooks. I think humanity overlooks, because there's so much pressure to perform all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think a healthy ministry mindset can offer you the ability to take that pressure off and understand that God wants it just as much, actually probably more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's something that I picked up on recently that's been really helpful, that kind of connects to what you guys were saying.
Yeah.
Colin, are there any things to you, like, in the young adults' lives, right? There's sometimes the radical transformation to coming to Jesus, right? And in that, that's a radical mindset shift, right? When that happens in young adults' lives that you've witnessed, how do you walk with them to help them cultivate a healthy ministry mindset? Or maybe another question, how have you seen the Spirit walk with them to help change their mindset?
Yeah, I think such a big part of it is the performance thing that you mentioned of, I think we're all wired kind of from our world to perform for an identity, to work, to find acceptance. And so the good news that we don't have to, because Jesus has done that for us, is like that beginning to believe that will radically transform, I think, the way that young adults view their lives. And I think it frees them. You know, as young adults, you're trying to figure out a lot of what you're doing in your 20s, right? Like, all these big life decisions that I think you put so much, that we feel so much pressure to kind of figure out. We feel like we're falling behind. That's like a constant thing I hear, is that I'm not where I should be in life. And so you're so focused on really yourself and figuring out those things. But when you start to follow Jesus and you realize, like, no, I don't have to find my security, my acceptance, and all those things, because God's already given that to me. As that belief starts to seep into their hearts and minds, I think it frees them to live a life of serving others and serving God, instead of their 20s being just about how do I get my life together.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge change that can happen in the life of a young adult as that as their mindset shifts because of the gospel.
Yeah. One of the things that really brought this topic to the table was, Tony, you have done a little bit of a teaching and a few workshops on a healthy ministry mindset and what the Bible really says about that. It was fascinating to me and a lot of other people. Can you give us some, just a brief overview of some of the key takeaways of what you learned from kind of that studying the Bible about what is ministry, what does that mean for having a healthy ministry mindset, and some application for our lives?
Yeah, for sure, man. So, yeah, the I got really fascinated with this topic, and I think it's because we throw around the word ministry a lot, you know? So it's people talk about being called into ministry. We talk about vocational ministry. I think the Bible's going to say that every follower of Jesus is called to minister. And so I just thought, man, what does that word mean exactly? Because we use it when we mean vocation. We use it when we mean certain, we'll look at certain activities within the church and say that's ministry, and then things outside of the church or maybe not. So it's like, I was just like, what do the biblical authors think about ministry? So it kind of sent me a little bit on this this hunt to figure out what that was. And so when I started to look into it, what I found was really clarifying. And so there's actually three main words that are used that are translated as ministry in the New Testament, and they're used a lot. They're used over 100 times. You're going to see the variation of these words show up. So this wasn't, it made me realize that ministry is not a small thing in the mind of the New Testament thinkers. It actually is very much the mindset of the New Testament thinkers when they talk about ministry. And the word itself, I'm probably going to not get it wrong, but it comes from the base of diakonos, I think is what it is, diakonos. And so it shows up in a few different forms, but it's the same root. It shows up like over 100 times in the New Testament. And the term itself is what I thought was interesting. It literally just means to serve. That's what it just means, serve. It means as simple as it gets. As I dug more into it, because I just get fascinated with this stuff, I realized that in the first century, the term itself found origins in what it meant was, it literally meant to wait on tables. That was the original use of the word, was for a person who's attending to and serving the needs of another person by waiting on tables. And that got me thinking. I thought that actually is more clarifying to me. So the analogy I use sometimes is, like, let's say that, you know, we were all to go out to lunch afterwards and we went to Applebee's or something like that. We're going to sit down and someone's going to come and they're going to ask us how we are and they're going to ask to take our order. We call that person a server, right? Mm-hmm. As we call them. And in like the truest sense of what the New Testament authors are saying, like, they're doing ministry. That's what they're doing. They're doing ministry. But here's what I thought was super clarifying about it, was I thought to myself, so think about this for a minute. If you have a server at Applebee's, who are they serving? And I'm like, in one sense, in a very real sense, they're serving us. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting our food and they're helping us with things. They're making sure that all the things we have there. But in another very real sense, they're not just serving us. They're serving Applebee's. Mm. They are authorized representatives who are sent to represent another entity, and they're commissioned with a mission to serve. So that kind of brought me to, if I was to give my definition, and this is just me, my definition of what I think the New Testament authors mean by ministry, it is serving others in the name of another. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm serving others, I'm serving the other people, but I'm doing it in the name of, as an authorized representative of, in conjunction with and in partnership with the mission of my Lord, of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And here is what really blew me away about this, is the word ministry. That word is used for nearly every activity that you see happening in the church. Mm-hmm. So whether it's preaching or it's teaching, or whether it's waiting on tables, or whether it's meeting a practical need, even acts of generosity, like giving, are called ministry. It's all diakonos. It's all. We're all serving others in the name of another. And the reason I thought that was so helpful to me is because I thought what that does is it levels the playing field of every activity that's happening within the local church. It's like whether you're doing this or you're doing that, whether you're up front or you're behind the scenes, whether you have a microphone or you're at the soundboard, or whether you're in the community or you're in the church building, what we're doing is we are serving others in the name of another. And I think it's super, I'll stop talking, one passage that I think was really enlightening to me is in Acts 6. So some of you guys might remember Acts 6, the apostles, the church is growing, the apostles are busy, they're waiting on tables. The Bible says they're waiting on tables and they're helping provide the daily distribution of bread to the people. And the Bible says that the 12 disciples got together and they basically said, we need to devote ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. And they said, and we need to no longer wait tables. And then it says, so they selected 7 men and they delegated waiting on the tables. And what they did was they devoted themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Now, it's a great passage, but I think there's actually something really unfortunate that happens in that passage. And that is that it says they devoted themselves to the ministry of word and prayer and they didn't wait on tables. But in the original language, here's what it literally says. It says they devoted themselves to the ministry, diakonos, of the word and prayer, so they could give away the diakonos of tables. So what it's saying is, it's not like we need to stop doing that so we can do ministry. What they're saying is we need to not focus on that part of the ministry so we can do this part of the ministry. And to me, I was super enlightening to me, because I'm like, that it all I had to say, ministry defined the mindset of the early Christians. And ministry simply meant we're serving others in the name of another. And that's that to me, I thought was really, really clarifying when, as I was kind of looking at it, so.
That's really helpful. When you think, like for me, I'm thinking about the local church and why it's so important to understand that is because sometimes you can get wrapped up in the, why am I doing this? Or I'm doing this because my friend Tony really wants me to serve in children's ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, you're serving under the lordship of Christ for this, you know, making an impact there. And I think it's so important for us to hold on to that and remember that, because it really affects all the things that we're talking about, because disunity can, if it becomes that you're going to serve a man or an institution or the actual like physical church other than, you know, Jesus himself, which is the mission of the church.
Nick, if I could jump in there, because I think you're onto something. Well, first of all, I'm kind of hung up on, that's a great example.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, if we go out to Applebee's, who's paying? That's more, I mean, I'm kind of hung up on that. But, I think as leaders, let's flip that. When you're leading, you can begin to look at people and try to find volunteers to do things versus inviting people into something that is their identity in response of. And I think you can get that backwards as a leader. And when you think about it, the I think a form of that Greek word is the very word that Matthew 20:28 uses when it says, our leader, our savior, our Lord came not to be served, but to serve. And so the one we follow, that's what defines him, identifies him. And so I think as leaders to invite people into that, versus just seeing them as, I need somebody to do some things so that we can get the thing done, but to invite them into something bigger is a healthy mindset for a leader in ministry.
Yeah.
What came to my mind when you were talking too is, there's actually a passage where you see the word mindset and the word servant, diakonos, show up in the same class, Philippians chapter 2, take on the same mindset as Christ, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather he made himself the word is diakonos. He came to serve. So I'm like, that's the origins of the mindset. It comes from Jesus.
That's awesome. That's good. So awesome. Dan, I would love to, recently got to hear a lot of your story in early church planning and all that. And you talk, and even before that, you talk a lot, you're talking a lot about identity and having an identity in Christ and him shaping that. How do you look over 32 years, how God has shaped your identity to serve and do ministry in the position that you are in now, how he shaped you through all of that and why that was so important?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I was thinking about this. So my background is church planning, and I kind of did it the old fashioned way, for lack of a better way of saying it. We started in a little double wide trailer with 15 folks, and I had never done it before. I was 20 some years old and we were just slugging it out. And I think without knowing it, so you reflect back, you can kind of categorize like how God's worked. You're in the middle of it. You're like, I'm not sure what he's rubbing into me. Yeah. I don't know what he's rubbing out of me, you know?
Yeah.
I think the first phase of that church plant for me was almost God saying, are you willing to do everything? And here's what I mean by that. So when I jumped in, I was doing everything, you know, as the leader. I was preaching. I led the singing. Can you guys imagine that? I cleaned the building. I remember one Sunday showing up, sewage was all over in the basement in the building, and it's like, well, who's going to clean it up? That's me, you know? I'm the one who planned the kids thing. And so there's a part of you as a leader, it's like we have a saying around here, if servanthood's below you, leadership's above you, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think that was good for me. Like, are you willing to run into anything and everything? But there comes a point in that process where I had to begin asking, am I inviting anybody to do anything with me? Mm-hmm. You know? And so you get to the point where like, well, I wonder who I'm inviting to come along in the process. And how I'm encouraging them, empowering them, equipping them, not just so they do the task. It's almost like you're inviting people to run into the calling God has for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that I have learned is there's a lot of people in churches who are sitting there and they're bored. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just bored because no one ever invites them into something. I remember the first guy I did this with, so we're 15, the community, I don't even know if they knew we were there. And his name was Tony. I hope he watches this. I mean, I love Tony. Tony never thought about it. I said, let's do a community outreach event, 15 of us. And will you help me? And can we do this together? I saw that guy come alive in a different kind of way. It was different than I come, I sit, I listen. But he's like, you think God would want to use me? It blew my mind. How God used that fellow. And so I think they come alive. I think there's a lot of people sitting dormant. So I got to the point where I'm like, am I willing to do everything? Am I inviting anybody to do anything? And I think as a leader, you get to the point where, am I willing to let go of some things?
Yeah.
Like his Acts 6 example. And I think that has formed me because, dirty little secret, leaders can be control freaks, you know? And that we're not called to be control freaks. We're called to be coaches.
Yeah.
Like, I think Ephesians 4 is a passage that's really a hint, a linchpin there. Like, we're called to coach to equip people for the works of service that God prepared for them to do. So there's a part where I get to partner with God in what he's prepared them to do. And when I don't do that, man, I stop partnering with God's plan for them. And so I feel like for me, the joy now of ministry for me, you know, I'm an old football coach, and so I like to play football. Yeah. I don't play that well anymore. You know what I really like is I love watching and being able to speak into and seeing guys catch the touchdown, seeing them throw the pass, seeing them run for the end zone. That's what's fun to watch. And so I think the same in pastoring and leading, that the opportunity to be able to applaud, to clap, to coach, to equip, to empower is where the joy is.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that you hang on to because you're called to do them. I think that's how he's formed me over 30 plus years. And he's still forming me, Nick.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. He's still rubbing stuff out of me and into me, but I'm thankful that I've had a chance to be a part of that.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Colin, you know, you just talked about your 5 to 6 years into this thing. How, in a similar way, how have you been watching God form this healthy ministry mindset in you as you've been, you know, come out of college and start leading a young adult ministry and doing things that you've been doing? How have you watched God form you and form your mindset through that whole process?
Yeah, I think the biggest part of it for me has really been the identity piece that we've talked about. And so I remember when Tony asked me to come on staff full time and I came on at part of my role was actually investing in life groups and like overseeing the life group world. And what was what was challenging about that is I went from having all these leaders that invested in me, who are leading me for the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years of my life. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, in some ways, they were looking to me to lead this area of ministry. Mm-hmm. And I remember just feeling a pressure that I had to I had to prove myself. Mm-hmm. I had to prove myself as a leader. I was drawing my identity and my value from this leadership role. I remember God, really pointed that out to me, and had to do some work with him of laying that down and remembering that before I'm a leader, before I'm a pastor or whatever, I'm just another person who's following Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like that's I'm a son.
Yeah.
And a passage I always come back to remind myself of that is actually Jesus's baptism, because Jesus gets baptized and God the Father says, "Hey, this is my son who I love. I'm so pleased in him." Mm-hmm. And that was before he did anything in ministry. Yeah. It was before he preached a single sermon, served a single person, all those things. And his whole ministry was not to go earn the approval of anybody. It was because he already had the Father's approval.
Yeah.
And so the more that I can, I think the more that I've been able to sit in that, to just be with Jesus and let him press that into me, it's released some of the pressure. It's allowed me to, instead of to try to use ministry to serve myself, to actually serve people through ministry. Mm-hmm. So,
that's so awesome. For you guys, when we were trying to plan this episode, we were trying to find someone in the Grace ecosystem that was a great young leader. Colin's name came to the table. What did you guys see in Colin that made you think of him?
Man, well, I could talk about that forever, but I think if you're watching this podcast, you could probably see what we see.
Yeah.
Part of it is I think just you see in Colin, what you see is there's a true, genuine desire to know Jesus, to be loved by Jesus, to find his identity in who Jesus says that he is as the Son of God. And then a real open-handedness to say, I'm willing to let God use me however he wants to use me and whatever that looks like. And so I guess that's a huge part of it. And then I mean, another thing that's just amazing is watching how God has been using this young man and the things that God has been teaching to him, how he will then take those things and impart them to others. Mm-hmm. And just the fruit of his life is just shown in so many of those things. But yeah, man, I could talk about this guy forever. I love this guy. So he's incredible. But I think when we talk about that idea of a healthy ministry mindset, I think that the reality is that any Christian is we're going to ebb and flow in and out of a healthy ministry mindset. It's not like mm-hmm. you have it and then you just keep it. It's like, gosh, I feel like I can ebb and flow in a healthy ministry mindset in and out of it over the course of one day, over the course of one sermon.
Yeah.
I can go in and out of a healthy ministry mindset. But I think one of the things I see in Colin is that there's just a deep desire to recenter himself back into this place of mm-hmm. I'm a servant of Jesus. I'm serving Jesus and I'm serving others in the name of Christ. And mm-hmm. and just watching that happen. And honestly, Colin's an incredibly gifted guy too. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I mean, you can have all the gifts in the world, but you see that there is this true transformation that he recognizes that the Son of God has transformed his life, has served him, and that has propelled him into a life of serving other people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Man, I learned that from some people. getting to serve with Tony has been, just watching his... Mm. The first 5 years of my walk or so, I was so impacted by just Tony's preaching. But as he invested in me, as I came on staff in some ways, I'm like, it was his life and ministry up close that really impacted me and taught me so much. And so, yeah, I think one of the things I love about our church is how much we invest in young leaders and how we have incredible coaches like Dan and Tony to invest in us, to believe in us, to teach us these things. And so I know I've sat down with Dan a handful of times to work through things that I've been processing and my ministry in different ways. And so, yeah, that's the beautiful thing about our church is that there's leaders that have been doing it for a lot longer than we have. And that they've modeled such a, incredible mindset of love and service that it's pretty cool to be a part of.
My answer to the question that Nick asked, I mean, was your amazing good looks is why you came to my mind, your charm, your wit, your intellect.
That's what I figured.
You know, I think he just displayed something for me that comes to my mind. I think of Colin, when I think of Colin, words come to mind are humility. Mm-hmm. Like like he talks about centering himself, just this humility, because he's gifted, very gifted. But that's not what you get when you first meet him. And then I love his genuineness. You know, if you can see his eyes tearing up as he shares. Anytime I've been around him, I just think what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And I love his genuine heart. And so I think that makes him extremely coachable. I think he knows who he is and allows God to use him in some amazing ways. And so what a privilege. I think Tony and I would both agree. One of the greatest privileges we have at this stage in our ministry is being able to hang out with young leaders.
Yeah.
We learn from you.
Oh my gosh.
It's not just that we get a chance to invest in you, mm-hmm. that we get a chance to learn from you as well. And that's quite a privilege.
That is, man. Yeah, that's a joy.
Yeah, I think about a few things from the Bible just came out to me as you guys were, as Colin talked and Dan talked. But I think about what Colin said of, I think it's so important to find leaders, spiritual leaders, that when, like in the Bible, when you read, when Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, mm-hmm. someone you can deeply trust that they are following Jesus, like as hard as they possibly can, mm-hmm. and just coming under their leadership and serving with them, there's just so much that you'll learn from them. And also connects, like I think about this pretty often. People look at Romans as like this deep like you get so much theology from it. And at the end of it, Paul says, I can't wait to be with you to impart something spiritual to you.
Yeah.
And when I think about grace and I think about with our leaders, I get so excited to meet with our leaders because there's something there that happened. Like I can go tell, usually what happens after is I call my friend Noah and I tell him everything that happened in the conversation. He's like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm like, you don't understand. And what really happened there is it wasn't just something that you heard off of a podcast. Something spiritual took place there. And so when we talk about healthy ministry mindset, I think that's important to say. Is going back to what Colin said of like, you have to be following Jesus first, especially if others might be looking to you as that Paul would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Other people might be looking to you in that way. And you are supposed to be Christ's ambassador. So it's so important to be rooted to Jesus. And then the second thing is that the importance of showing up, right? To impart something spiritual and knowing that God is looking to do that within you.
Yeah.
Just a few things that I feel like just came to mind. I don't know if you guys have anything to add off of that, but.
I was thinking your Romans reference made me kind of veer. I mean, Paul, I don't know if you ever noticed this, end of his letter, he mentions people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, well, who's that guy? Yeah. You know, and it can feel random, but it reminds me of the fact that God's extraordinary, and he uses just us ordinary folks. We'll say it this way around here, different ways. I've heard Jeff say this, that the secret sauce of Grace Church is its people who are just committed to the ministry, for lack of a better way of putting it. So I love that Paul just kind of like, hey, say hi, and I'm thankful for, and he just lists people. Yeah. And you're like, I wonder why he took the time to do that. It was like, because that's the secret sauce. You know, it's kind of fun. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
So obviously we talked a ton about for having a healthy ministry mindset of like having the mindset of a servant, right? When you look at serving, why do you view it as such like so important to keeping a healthy ministry mindset and actually something that you encourage a new believer to get into eventually? What would you say? Why would you say serving is important?
I mean, this is like, I'm just going to go ahead and steal the no-brainer answer. It was because Jesus said so. And and not just because he said so, but he lived it out, you know. And like, even just, you think about like the little banters that the disciples would get into, and who's the greatest, who's the greatest, who's the greatest. Mm-hmm. And Jesus would always come back to, the greatest is the servant. Like, you know, so serving is great in the kingdom of God. I think Jesus himself personifies what it looks like to serve in Philippians 2 and those kind of things. So if he's the one that we're following, you know, it's like, man, then we follow his model of serving. And I think honestly, another big, just maybe a real practical piece of it is just that God is up to something in this world. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing something in this world. And the idea of ministry is that we are serving others in the name of another. We're commissioned, and we are ambassadors of our King. And so I think it's so helpful, even just like talking with you guys. Like I'm looking at this row of guys, and I'm like, I love that we get to do this together. Mm-hmm. But what we're doing together is we're serving. We are doing different parts of serving.
Yeah.
But we're doing it in the name of Christ, because we're partnering with God. He's trying to accomplish something in this world.
Yeah.
And there's so much purpose that's found in that. I feel like our like, you know, the Bible talks about how God's prepared good works in advance for us to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know that for so many folks are searching for meaning, searching for purpose in this life. And I'm like, and man, we have it, you know, Christ has given it. And so encouraging people to serve is like, not only are we becoming like Jesus, not only are we unified that we get to do this together, but there's such deep, immense joy and purpose that's found in serving people together. So those are some of my first thoughts that popped in my mind.
He stole what Colin and I were going to say.
Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with what Tony said. I think anything that I would add of any value, like I think when you ask about new believers, you know, sometimes, Nick, now this is an opinion, so if I can share an opinion, I think we can get discipleship backwards. Mm-hmm. I wonder sometimes if we focus first too much on what they should do instead of who they are. Because one of the things I think is, once you know who you are, then you know what to do, right? Absolutely. And so I think that's why it's important to make sure we focus on identity. I don't ever want to lose sight of what he's done for me. I want to grow in my understanding of that. And so that's why the worship identity piece is so important. But I love what Tony said, the mission is so powerful. I can't remember, I think it might have been J.D. Greer said that when we come together and do ministry, we, the visible church, get a chance to paint a picture of the invisible Christ. Mm-hmm. And our world needs to see that. And not one of us is going to do that. It's like all of us together. And so there's a sense to which Paul makes a real case for the fact, I can't say that I don't need the body, right? And I can't say there's no room for inferiority either. I can't say that you guys don't need me, that there's this interdependence to paint that invisible Christ, the body of Christ in our world. And I think the fact that we get a chance to partner with God in that mission is what an incredible invitation to invite people into. And we need you, and you need us, I think is in an individualistic society. Mm-hmm. You guys would know this, but honestly, people are looking for community. Mm-hmm. Well, in Christ, we have this common unity that responds in worship and is identified in Christ with an incredible mission. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what a powerful opportunity to invite people into that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
It is incredible to get to partner with people and what God's doing. And I think another thing that comes to mind there too is that something that I've learned through ministry is that I love that the fact that God wants to use us to do things that that he is doing in the world is incredible. Mm-hmm. And there's so much joy and purpose and significance that comes from that. But one of the things I've learned too is that like God doesn't just want to do ministry through me, but he wants to do ministry in me. Mm-hmm. And actually one of the ways he does that is through serving others. Yeah. It's in ministry and serving others that I'm confronted with the my selfishness. I'm confronted with some of the things that that God needs to transform in my life. And so even for a new believer, like, that is one of the best ways to grow, is actually pouring your life out for others, which is a really sweet thing.
Yeah. Something that came to mind, Dan, when you were talking about the identity piece and like the unity in the body of Christ, I think about this pretty regularly. You know, each person is made specifically by God, right? And reflects something different about God that, I don't know the theology around this, but that no one else can offer. Like, there's different, their makeups, the way that they, the way that they were created. There's, you know, 8 billion people on this earth, and each person was created differently on purpose, right? And so I love what you're saying about get to know them, get to know what they reflect of the body. Yeah. And because it's how you can also understand God more and understand your role and how, we all come together as a church, you know, to bring the kingdom of God here. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a beautiful illustration of like the people that you interact with matter. Even the person that is the furthest away from God, they have something mm-hmm. that they can reveal to you about God. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a beautiful, image that sometimes we forget about, but, as we start to wrap up here, obviously prayer is extremely important. What ways have you seen prayer in your guys' ministry and as you look to serve others? How have you seen prayer been so important?
I think my mind goes to, this might be a long answer to your question, but like, I think what these guys were both saying, is this idea that God is, you know, God is doing something in the world and he wants to partner with us in what he's doing. So it's his work. But a big part of what I think it means to have a healthy ministry mindset is to hold two thoughts in tension, or hold two thoughts at the same time without letting go of one. And the two thoughts in my mind are that this is God's work, so God has a big part. Like, God has a big part. And the other thought is, God has authorized me to be part of this work. I have a big part. Mm-hmm. And these two thoughts are true at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you see it reflected in passages like in 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul's like, you know, he's like, I watered, Paul, you know, or I planted, Apollos watered, but God causes the growth. Mm-hmm. And I think the farming analogy is so great, because you're like, it's God's field. But the farmer has a real job. Like him showing up matters. It matters a lot. But as much as he's working diligently and working hard as he can. I mean, workers are very, very hard workers. Farmers are very, very hard workers. They're also 100% dependent. They're dependent on elements that are completely outside of their control. And so I think that what that brings me to is a healthy ministry mindset is that I'm holding on to these two thoughts at the same time. God is 100% dependent on God, which is where prayer comes in. I cannot do this without him. And it also helps me take 100% responsibility. Mm-hmm. It matters if I show up. It actually really matters. And I think this is kind of my, and I could talk about this for a long time, but to me, where we start to drift in unhealthy ministry mindsets is when we start to let go of one or the other. Mm-hmm. So when I start to think God has a big part, but I don't, I think it can lead to ministry passivity. It's a passive ministry mindset. It can lead to kind of that whole idea in Romans chapter 10, that it's like, my gift doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter. I think if I start to think I have a big part, but God doesn't have a big part, if I start to maximize my part, it leads to what I would call like a performance ministry mindset. And that's where it's like, that can lead to pride. It can lead to territorialism. It can lead to, it all depends on me. It can lead to burnout and anxiety. And that leads to prayerlessness. Mm-hmm. Prayerlessness is, it all depends on me. Mm-hmm. And if I get into a place where I think God doesn't have a big part and I don't have a big part, I just call that like a cynical mentality. It's like, people don't change, nothing's going to change, so why does it matter at all?
Yeah.
And that also leads to prayerlessness. I think a healthy ministry mindset is a place where I come in and I say, God has a big part and I have a big part. I am 100% dependent on him. Mm-hmm. So prayer becomes, I think, a natural overflow. It's mm-hmm. a natural outcome of a healthy ministry mindset is a recognition and acknowledgement God causes the growth. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I think that's where my mind went when you asked that question was to that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, I could sit and listen to you talk about that all day. but I was thinking as he was talking, the first thing I thought was Ephesians gives us an example of what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Paul, when he prays for the church, he said, God's able to do more than you can ask or imagine. Mm-hmm. So he's able, and he's the one. So only God can bring a dead thing to life. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, only God can do that. So no matter how much ministry happens, I'm never going to save somebody. I'm never going to, right? We're not going to do that. It's true. Only God can do it. But at the end, when Paul's talking about we have this fight, you know, we're wrestling with Satan and the principalities and powers of darkness, he at the end of that, after the armor, says, pray for me. He says, like, pray. Pray for me that I'll fearlessly proclaim as an ambassador. It's almost those two things in tension. God's able to do more, and yet I please, not just him praying for himself, but he's asking his brothers and sisters to pray for him. Yeah. And, you know, I have, honestly, Nick, to answer your question, I've experienced both ends mm-hmm. of that air mm-hmm. in ministry over 30 some years. I remember as a young pastor going and planting this church and thinking we got to produce results. And so I'm working my full head off. Mm-hmm. And I called this old preacher in Pennsylvania and said, what's the first five things you do? Mm-hmm. And he said to me, five times pray. And I'm like, well, man, couldn't you give me something practical to do, right?
yeah.
And we start praying, and God's able to do more than could ask or imagine, right? The flip side is, even now, I think about every Sunday I get a chance to preach or whatever it might be, I'm begging God, I'm praying, I want others praying, God, that I will fearlessly proclaim that I'll do what it is he's called me to do in a way that will point to him, mm-hmm. not to me, right? In a way that the gospel will make sense and people. So I feel like this pendulum that Tony is something that kind of you constantly go back and forth. And I think it's vital to a healthy ministry mindset because it places me in a place of response to the one who I'm serving.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm serving, that's the act of worship and who I am. And so it just keeps me in the right space, the right mindset of ministry, as you said earlier.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really helpful.
Yeah, I can speak to how one of the ways that prayers shape, like you're saying, shapes our ministry mindset. I actually got this from you, Tony, but I know you have your PowerPoint of the things that you preach to yourself before you preach.
Yeah,
And I've kind of adopted that too, just that things that I preach and pray through before I preach. And one of the quotes in there that I think about a lot is from Tim Keller, and he says the difference between a bad and a good sermon is the preacher, and it's an acknowledgement of our part in it, right? Like we there's work that we have to do to prepare a sermon. But then he says, but the difference between a good and a great sermon is the Holy Spirit.
Oh man.
And that there's things bringing people from death to life, like actually speaking to the hearts of what's going on and at the deepest level in people. I'm like, I can't do that. Like, mm-hmm. God has to do that. And so it's something that, yeah, I every time before I preach, I pray through those things. And I just pray, God, like, I've done all that I can to try to make this as good as it can be. But now I'm just entrusting it to you. And if there's any great ways you want to use it, I'm just gonna allow you to do that, like, because I can't. And it's so it's that, yeah. I think whether it's preaching, whether it's serving, whatever ministry somebody's doing, I think that that kind of prayerful posture going into it, it's been so helpful for me to like release control, the control that I want to have over things, and just ask God to do the things that only He can do, the great things. So
it's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
It's awesome. Yeah. As we wrap up here. As we talk about prayer, Grace Church, we do these 30 and 30 prayer calls that are so important that we see so much fruit come from, and that the people of Grace are the ones that are really ones praying. And so if you are interested in being a part of these 30 and 30 prayer calls, there's a way to get involved and join that in the description or the show notes below. And we'd love for you to join us in prayer for God to do the work that he's looking to do through all of us, and just ask him to move through Grace Church. And so we would love for you to join those 30 and 30 prayer calls. Make sure you go check that out below. And with that, this episode is a wrap.